Morning. Hey, Deb. I think we're going to have to turn it up a little.
Terror. The only word I have right now. Actually, last week I was standing in the back, and Sherry came up to me and said, I'm going to be gone next week. Would you mind speaking? And, yeah, every vein in my body just went, terror, no. And I went, okay. And I shook for a while after that. I'm shaking now, but I know God's peace is going to be here. He's so awesome. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Gina Hughes, and we've been attending this school, my kids have, for 9 years. I have an eighth grader, Mitch, and a fifth grader, Mark, and a first grader, Nikki. And I've been blessed with these kids. And I was up with one last night, all night, with the stomach flu. So I'm a little weak myself, but if you'll just bear with me today. And I kept walking up to Sherry because she's going through Job, which has been absolutely awesome. But I keep saying, would you stop speaking on Job? Just stop. Because my life has been real Job-like lately. So they're just like that. And this morning, actually, I'm going to be speaking on something that's not real popular. And it's something that God is asking each and every one of us to do. And I've entitled this message, Come and Die. And it's a hard message, but it's transforming. And if you listen to Jesus' words, he will change your life and those lives around you. So let me pray, guys. Father, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us all here today to hear from you, God. I do pray that the spotlight would be on your son. I pray that your words, God, would work in and through us and that lives would be changed here this morning. And we just love you so much. Thank you for Sherry, and I just love her faithfulness to us every week. And I pray that you keep her safe on those plane flights and bring her back safely. And Father, just fill us this morning and let us hear from you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, a couple Tuesdays ago was one of the scariest days of my life that I can think back on. I actually was working back here. I went home because I was sicker than a dog. And I went home, laid down on the couch, took the phone off the hook, and started taking a nap. And it was probably about 1 o'clock. And I hate cell phones. And for some reason, which I know now was God, my cell phone was sitting kind of near me, and I heard that ringing at about 1 o'clock. Hate cell phones, and so I'm like, I'm not gonna get it. Somebody's gonna want something. And after a while, it was nagging and nagging and nagging at me. So I went and I looked at the cell phone, and it had been the school that called. So I called up the school, and they said, "You have a problem with your son. He is in Washington on the eighth grade field trip. But call your husband. We already talked to him and gave him all the information. So give him a call." So I call Mike up at work, and I'm already panicking because I knew we had sent my son to Washington, and he had got a concussion about 3 weeks prior and then had got hit again a couple days before we sent him to Washington. But he seemed fine. He was playing ping pong before we sent him on his way. He wouldn't have missed it for the world. And I look back on it now, I would have still sent him. So I call my husband, and as he's talking to me, another call comes in, and it's Minor Owen, the parent. She goes to our school, and she was up there, knew Mitch. She was with Mitch. And I didn't know this, but at the time, they were ambulancing him to the hospital. And I could hear sirens in the background, and I'm talking on the phone, and it's Minor, and she says, "We're with Mitch. Blood pressure's really low. He's very dizzy and really nauseous." And I said, "Are you in an ambulance?" And she said, "Yeah, we're taking him to the hospital right now." And you could hear the paramedics. Well, I'm freaking out. I couldn't listen. I started sobbing. I mean, just thinking about it now, I'm freaking out. I can't do a thing about it. And my husband, God bless him, he's an amazing man. He's on the other line, and he's speaking calmly, and, "Well, what's going on?" And Mitch was doing fine, and all of a sudden, he had gotten really dizzy. They called the paramedics. The paramedics came and took his blood pressure and said, "There's something wrong here. Bring him in." And that's when Mitch told him about the concussions. So they took him to the hospital, did all kinds of CAT scans, and Mike was going to fly there and pick him up, but the doctors pretty much said, "You leave him here, let him get rest, let him get better." CAT scan showed nothing. He was okay. He actually ended up sleeping all that Wednesday, flew back with the kids on Friday, so he was okay. But at that time, I was on the phone, and I'm pacing, I'm going back and forth, and I put the phone down, and I'm sobbing. And Mitch is on the other end, and I'm like, you'll be okay. I could hardly talk. Mike knew I was having a hard time. Well, my cell phone rings again. So I pick up my cell phone because I see it's the school, and I'm like, yeah, I got Mitch, I'm on. They go, no, it's not Mitch, it's Nikki. So I'm like this. I go, oh, it's Nikki, okay. So I said, what's up? She said, well, she's sick, you need to come get her. So I said, okay, so I'm on this. I wrapped it up. I said, Mike, if anything happens, call me. Hang up my cell phone. I'm a mess. I'm walking out to the car. I'm bawling. I'm in the car, hardly driving. And all of a sudden, I just stopped. And I said, okay, God, there's not one thing I can do in this situation, not one. I am utterly helpless and out of control. There's nothing I can do. Mitch could die. In fact, one of the things that the doctors had told us, that if he were to get a second hit in the head, which he had done, by the way, it could be fatal. So all these things are going through my head, and I'm thinking blood clot, you know, something major is going on. He's being ambulanced. The paramedics are not happy with this. And I just said, God, you know what? He's yours. If he dies, he's yours. You know, I knew it wouldn't be easy. I had that, you know, I don't want this to happen, but not my will, but yours be done. And I have to say, I have never experienced a peace like I experienced that afternoon. I drove to school, and I'm not saying I was happy, because I wasn't happy. I was still very sober. But there was such a peace that indwelt. God was there. God was with me. And that's what I want to talk about today. Jesus spoke some amazing words in Mark 8:34 and 35, if you want to turn there. It says, he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus clearly states that those who follow after him must deny themselves. So I think there's some things in our lives, some baggage that we got to drop to follow after God. When we lay down our lives for him, we experience him in a whole entirely different way, but it's that denial of ourselves that he is allowed to come in and fill us. Isaiah 53:5 says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Punishment and peace strike us as strange, but it's only because Jesus was punished for our sin that we're restored to a fellowship with him. God commands us then, my life verse, in fact, this is so cool, my daughter Nikki has this for speech meet, so this is all she said for the last week. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. We don't get it. We don't understand it. But it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That is my life verse. Not many people want to leave their comfort zones. We're all in these wonderful comfort zones. And I know it. I'm struggling with all these things I'm going to talk to you guys about today. But God has taken me through some of these. In fact, dying hurts. I know it hurts. In fact, in January, my brother-in-law, who I've known for 30 years, married to my oldest sister, succumbed to his cancer after 7 years. My husband and I, we were supposed to go up to Ohio, couldn't make it there, and they all gathered around his bed, and we were on the cell phone with him. And I just remember that feeling of saying goodbye for the last time. I was standing there, and I handed the phone to my husband, and it was just like, wow, I just said goodbye to him. And my husband said on the other end, you know, I'll see you on the other side, man. And he hung up the phone. We just stood there and sobbed. Death hurts. It hurts. But on the other side of that death is life. And God has it. And he said, I have life. And I want to give that life to you more abundantly than you could ever imagine. And he does. Well, it's through this pain and hurt that we find God. And I want to convey that this morning. God is there and he is not silent. God is not silent in your life. There's so much more that he wants us to experience. We need to die to those things in life that weigh us down and keep us from experiencing what God has for us. Here's a few areas that I know we all struggle with. We all struggle in our flesh. Our flesh is going to fight us till the day we die. I mean, it's constant. It's a battle. In fact, the more I walk with the Lord, the more I understand that verse that if you're friends with the world, you're not friends with God. Boy, that just is ringing clearer and clearer, the older my kids get especially. But one of the things has been my favorite thing I struggle with the most is fear. And if you guys knew me before I knew the Lord, standing up here, you would have had to kill me first. There's no way. I'm trying to think of how many years. I'd say 7 years of severe anxiety, but in those 7 years, I had 3 years where I barely functioned. I had a year that I could barely get out of the house. I think I went through 7 jobs because I couldn't make it to work. I remember this one job I had. There was a train that went by, and if I didn't make it at the right time, I'd have to stay by this train, and terror would take over so bad, and I couldn't go on. I had to quit that job. And that's how I lived my life. Fear ruled my life. And I think us women, we are fearful of so many things. We are fearful of the financial stuff. Is that going to be paid? Do we have friends? How are our kids? What about our health? There's always something that we're fearful about. Well, fear can paralyze us. And I know. I was in a paralyzing fear for years. In fact, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of anxiety attack, but I had a major. And I still have to deal with that. In fact, like I said, standing up here, guys, this is a miracle. I'm bragging on God right now because I wouldn't have chosen this, and I don't choose this, but He chooses this. And I absolutely, when I'm up here, His peace is unbelievable, and I love being up here. A lot of us are worried about our children. In fact, I've got an 8th grader going to high school. You want to talk about overwhelming fear where I don't want to get out of bed? He's got to go to high school? You know, those are real fears. But fear is deadly because it kills our faith. Fear is based on the fact that my circumstances are greater than my God. My God is not big enough to handle this. A quote that I loved: fear lives in darkness. To kill it, we must shine the light. The stronger the light, the quicker the death. Happy are those who see God's light in all its fullness. When you see God greater than your fear, that fear is diminished. When you let that fear overwhelm you, then God in your eyes is diminished. We have to die from those fears that overwhelm us. And the way we do that, Joshua 1:9, I read this morning in my devotion, be strong and courageous. For why? Why are we not to fear? Don't be feared or dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? I'm standing back there shaking like a leaf, and I looked over there, and it said, believe in me. And I stood there and went, oh, I believe you, God. I believe you're going to meet me right here where you're going to meet me. In fact, God had something incredible for my life. For about 4 years, He kept putting on my heart, jail ministry. And I kept saying, you crazy? No way. No, that's not for me. You know, and I knew He was saying it, and I knew it was Him. So for about 4 years, I kept saying, no, I'm just going to do this small leader thing at church. I know all the people. I'm in this real tight group. I love it. I'll lead these groups. Well, as the years went on, it got more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. In the last year I was in small group, leading this group, I hated it. Every week I'd go, I got to go lead this small group for you, Lord. I hate this. And He goes, yeah, I can tell you why. You're scared to death of what I have for you if you would just step out in faith. So I finally said, okay, fine, I'll get my badge. Went up to jail. And the first thing they asked me to do was to give my testimony. Well, I had 15 minutes, and in walked 60 women, all dressed the same, with no makeup on, looking at me like, what are you going to say to us that's going to do anything? You know, they had that look, scared me to death. I'm in the back, my knees are shaking, I mean, just pretty much like this morning. And I just said, God, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. You got to be crazy. Well, I went up front. And again, God met me there, and His peace infiltrated me. It was unbelievable. There was 60 women in there, and I got to talk to these gals, and they're bawling, and they're understanding that there's a God that loves them, and there's a God that wants to save them out of the junk they were in. Because by the grace of God, I should have been in jail, which is why I'm sure God brings me there now, because I should have been there. I won't even go into that part of my life. God changed me 100%. Trust me. So But anyways, I got home that night, and I'll never forget, Mike was at home, and he couldn't get me off the ceiling. I'm like, you should have seen this. Oh, my gosh, God was there. God met me there. God's spirit, I saw God. I saw God that day. I saw, in fact, you have to stand in the back afterwards and shake their hands, and, you know, a couple of later's like, oh, gosh, I'm giving my life to the Lord. You know, I stood back there. God allowed me to see that, just to see him work. It was not me. It was him. I know it's not me. I am convinced it is him and only him. Well, God says in Luke 8:50, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. He wants us to believe. Do we take his words and believe it, or do we just say, that's a great Christian message that I just heard today. That's great. But do we take it? I'll tell you what. Our lives around us would be transformed if we took these words of Christ and put them into action. Everyone around us would be touched, and I know that. I've seen it. Well, another area in our life that I think the world is just unbelievably entrenched in right now is success. I think all of us have to worry about the witness that we have out in this world. Everybody wants to be the best. Everybody wants to be on top. Everybody will crawl and step over your neighbor to get to be the best. That's the way our world is. I mean, my boys are in sports. I see it every weekend. I deal with it every weekend. And, you know, we think our kids want to be the best. We do that through our kids. You know, it seems to reflect on us if our kids are doing great. Well, I think the one thing there that God is really asking us to do, instead of bragging about ourselves, we need to build each other up. We need to put others first. We need to make sure that it's not about us. In fact, I'll never forget, and this probably was about seven years ago, I was sitting at one of my sporting events, and a good Christian friend of mine said, you know what I said to my boy on the way over here? I said, you're the best, and you show everybody out there that you're the best. And I just stood there and went, oh, is that ugly? We are to do our best. We're to do our best for Christ. To be the best is a whole different deal. If God wants to lift you up there to be the best, he will. But I'll tell you what, when we're telling our kids, you go out there and you be the best, you shine above everybody else, that's our flesh. That's us saying, shine on us. We are the best. And I think we all struggle with that. Like I said, I struggle in that area watching my kids. I want them to be the best out there. That's my flesh. I do. But we have to be so careful in our witness out there. Instead of teaching our kids to brag on themselves, we need to teach our kids to build up each other, especially in your homes with brothers and sisters. I mean, that's huge. You know, I did the best. Hey, why don't you say something about your brother that your brother did? You know, let's brag on them. Let's do that. Put the emphasis on other people. That's love. That's building up other people. And this is my favorite one, the love of money. That is one thing I think all of us need to die to, is our love of money. And there again, in this world, materialism rules. It reigns. It does with my kids. I see it. It reigns in our homes, in our cars, in the way we dress, and the way we look at each other. And I think this is a real detriment to who are we trusting. In fact, God has brought me really far in this area, because I'll tell you what, I trust in money a lot of the time. And it took a couple years of God building this great big nest egg in our savings account. And I remember sitting on the computer going, oh, look at all. And I would say that in my heart. I can rest now. We got bills paid next month, the next month. And by the next day, and I'm not kidding you, that money would be gone. God would either, there was taxes due or a hospital. Who knew what it was? But that nest egg that I would be staring at and resting in, God would take. And I have to say, the last year, since 2001, all we've done is struggle. And it's been a month-by-month deal. And it's okay. I've learned to cling to God. I've learned to be content. And when my mortgage isn't paid, my husband and I used to fight. You wouldn't believe how bad we would fight if our stuff wasn't paid. I don't trust you. You know, you got to pay for it. Whatever, years ago. And as God has brought it around, he's taught me to look back, number one, and say, you know what? He's been faithful to me for 42 years. And he's taking care of me. Whether I get to stay in this house or not, that's up to him. He knows what I need. And I've gotten to a point, and I haven't overcome it 100%, but I have that peace That same piece that when I'm driving, you know, to school, knowing my kid's in an ambulance, that same piece of, okay, if you're going to pay it, God, you're going to pay it. I no longer fight with my husband. I just, if we got it, we got it. But it's a process that God's taken me on, and it's taken a lot of time to learn that confidence in money is not confidence in God. And God wants that dependence on us, but we got to die to that because it's such a huge thing for us. And, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, in Orange County, you guys, it's everywhere. I go back east, they got money. That, you know, everybody's got money around here. It's money that we're depending on. And like I said, I know that's something in my heart that I have to die to. And there was a saint named Diedrich Bonhoeffer who once said, the only money we will ever see again is the money we use to help on others. The money we use to help others. And that's so true. I mean, our money is here for a tool and a reason. In fact, I got to brag on God for a second because I just got off the phone with my dad a couple days ago, and I have a brother who I'll talk about in a little bit who just left with his 6 children to go to Bolivia. And they had a home, and I went there right before they had left. And it's very run down. They don't have money to, you know, put the granite in and the Ritz-Carlton look. It's very run down. And they were hoping really just to sell their house to break even, to help them out in Bolivia. He moved there for life. They're going to start churches out there. So anyways, my dad calls to say, there is a federal program going on right now in Ohio, and if you live anywhere near the airport, it's called a flyover grant, and you could be eligible to have your house redone. And guess what God did? My brother's house is getting completely redone. I mean, I was praising God because my brother was concerned about even breaking even with this house. They are going to put in new windows, new doors, paint it, put in air conditioning, which it didn't have before, a new heater system. I mean, I just sat on the phone. Me and my dad were praising God, and then I was jealous. I said, get a fly zone over my house, Lord, whatever you got to do. But what an incredible God we have. And there again, he died. He gave up everything. My brother gave up everything. And there came God, and just blows me away. Blows me away. And this is kind of where I wanted to talk to about him as well, because I think we also need in our lives to die to relationships that are hampering us from experiencing God. A lot of us will have relationships, and what I mean by that is not your husband relationship if he doesn't know the Lord, but friends or people that you dearly love. It could be a mom or dad, stepmom, whatever, that's keeping you from the love of God, from keeping you from experiencing and giving up for the sake of God. It seems rather harsh, but Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That sounds very harsh, but God wanted to be first in our lives. And when you put God first in your life, amazing stuff happens. And if there is a relationship in your life that needs to be a little bit lower, you know, like if you're spending time even with your kids when you know you should be spending time with God, that needs to stop. We need to die to those relationships that are hampering our time with God. And as I told you about my brother, he just left for Bolivia. He did the most extreme. This is way on this side of dying to relationships. He lived right near my parents. Loved them. They support him. They were always with him. My sister lived there, the one whose husband just died. Their relationship is amazing. He gave that all up for the sake of Christ, in the sake of the gospel. And to me, that just spoke volumes. He gave it all up for the sake of Christ. Another one that I think we need to die to, and the last one, is our rights, our bitterness, and our hurts. We as women can hold on to that, and we do a good job. And there again, I'm standing up here talking. I'm just like that. I hold on to bitterness and people that have wronged me. We got to let go of that. We got to let Christ's love come in where our hurts and our bitterness and our wrongs have happened. We think we have rights, but we don't have any rights. We got to let go of those things. We need to come and die. And there again, death is painful. It hurts. When someone's wronged us, we want to be right. We want to right that. We want to get back in their face. You know, you deal with that with your kids all the time. Well, he punched me. What do I do back? You know, as Christians, we really got to just die to ourselves. And there again, that's our flesh. We have to die And the reason we have to die is because it's the only way you get the resurrected life. Christ had to die first. He had to go to that cross. And in that death, in that dying to yourself, in that emptying of yourself, is when Christ comes in and he fills you and he uses you. In fact, God is so awesome. Okay, he created us out of red clay. All right, we are the only thing on this planet that can communicate with God and be in his presence and then take that love that he gives to us and share that with others. We are the only thing on this planet that does that. And that is what we are created for. We are created to share in him first and foremost, and then to communicate and share that love to others. That is our job. Every single one of us in here, if you're a Christian, should have the label of love in your life. If you don't, find out those things that are hampering God working through you. I got many areas. We're all not perfect. I'm not sitting in here, you know, pointing the finger at anybody. I'm the first one. In fact, that's why God, us messed up people, he uses more up here than anything, because we're good examples. But we need to be that love, okay? What are the reasons that we should die to ourselves? Is Jesus worth it? And I think that every single one of us here, is Jesus worth it? He gives us trials and temptations. He doesn't give us the temptations, but he allows us to be tempted. But it's to show us, who do we love? Do we love ourselves, or do we love Christ? Most of the stuff in our life is going to show us, who do we love? You know, we can, like I said, we can all go to church, we can sing the praises. In fact, what screams loudest to God that we love him? We pray. That is an excellent example. Reading his word, which we all should be doing, another great example. Worship, excellent. But the thing that screams loudest to our Father is obedience. That word we hate, I know it, my kids hate it. But I'll tell you what, if Nikki comes to me and she gives me a little note that says, I love you, Mom, or she sings, I love that. I treasure that. But I'll tell you what, when I say, hey, Nikki, get dressed for school. Yes, Mom, she's up and she's dressed and she's downstairs. Oh, do I love that. Or my oldest son who's sitting on the couch, hey, Mitch, would you get up and take the trash out? Sure, Mom, yep, I'll do that right away. My other son, Mark, when I ask him, when I ask him to do something, there's a little trepidation. There's a little, you know. And I have to say, he lately jumps up and does something. I go, Mark, do you know how much that means to me that you're getting up and doing what I asked you to do? Do you have any idea how that screams to me that you love me? And I let my kids know that. When they get up and do something that I ask them to do, I let them know that that means the world to me. So that is our Father. He asks things of us. In fact, I've been reading through the Old Testament, and all in the first five books of the Bible, mostly Deuteronomy, it talks about obedience. Almost every chapter says, if you obey my commands, if you obey my commands. I mean, it's constantly in the Bible. And God says, those who love me will obey me. We got to be different. And I tell this to my kids all the time. You know what? You say you're Christians, and we go somewhere, and you guys are fighting. What witness is that? That same with us Christians. Are we fighting amongst ourselves? Are we, for what? For this flesh? I don't get it. We need to put God first. We need to be so in love with God that love is what is pouring out of us all the time. Well, we must wear this love daily, because we were created for this reason. So whatever he's asking you to die to today, you guys, it ain't worth holding on to. He wants to fill you. He wants to use each and every one of you in ways that is beyond your imagination. In fact, the jail ministry, you guys, I wouldn't trade my right arm for it. You can't keep me away from there, because you know what? I experience Christ every time I'm there. He's brought me to a place now where I get to speak to the women one-on-one, and it's absolutely, unbelievably amazing. The fruit there is, he brings the women there. If you're available, and that's all he wants, available. In fact, I have people ask me, do you have credentials? What's your degree? I said, I got the word of God, and that's all I need. God's with me. You go speak to the women, and they want Jesus. There's such a hunger and a thirst. In fact, that's a forgotten part of our society. I'm kind of going off here, but I'll tell you what. These gals, they look just like us. I stand there amazed, just going, oh my goodness. This blows my mind. And I will always ask them, how many of you have kids? And, you know, you get 99% of them raising their hands. They don't just have one kid or two. They have three and four and five. And these kids are going into our communities. And these gals are forgotten about. So I'm just asking you guys today to be praying for the women that are in our jails. Our jails are getting hugely overpopulated right now. And it's just an epidemic right now. A lot of moms like us that I talk to. And they just started doing drugs, or they started doing bank fraud, whatever it is, to get by in this world. But there again, we're given that love to share. And if we're willing and available, He will use us. So I know today you guys have a purpose. You have something. Maybe God's been knocking at your door for a few years, like He did for me. It took me 4 years to be obedient. And you know what? And that's what I want to brag about Jesus. That's the coolest thing in the whole world. I didn't do it for 4 years, okay? He could have said, you know what? Heck with you. I've tried. He is the most incredible God you ever want to serve, because He still took me and used me and continues to. And I'll be in His service as long as He wants. But I'll tell you what, guys, He's there. He will meet you where you're at. So if you're afraid today, or if money's your God, or if success is what you're looking for to be the best, or relationships in the way, or there's an anger or a bitterness or hurt, God is bigger than all of this. I can stand here today. He is awesome. And I pray that each one of you guys, your love for Him would grow that much deeper and deeper, and that you would reach out and share this with others. We've got a lost world. We've got a dying world. Christ is coming back soon, by the way. People get real tired of me saying that, but He's coming today, I think. So anyways, let's pray. You guys, thanks for being here and listening. Let me pray. Father, You are amazing. And I just thank You again for this privilege of bragging on You today. And I pray that each woman in here, Lord, would come to know You at a deeper place, and just their love for You would be passion that would work itself out in their lives. God, make us different. Make us lovers of You. And God, help us to share that love with the dying world. We love You, God, and we want to follow You, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming. It would have been no fun without you.